Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Time of the week. It's doggy pod time.
Hi there, I'm Stephen Peters.
And I'm Dr. Rob.
And welcome once again to the Doggy Pod, your weekly fix of everything you ever wanted to know or didn't realise you should know about your four-legged family friend.
Now, in this episode, we're going to navigate the age-old question, the best dog for you, a purebred, a mongrel, a pet shop dog, or a pet shelter dog?
We're also going to talk microchips, dog headaches, and our celebrity dogs are named Dali and Allegra.
Ah, yes, we'll tell you what they are in a little while, and who owns them shortly, because he's one of Australia's and the world's biggest stars.
And our special guest on the Doggy Pod this week is former Olympic swimmer Nicole Livingston. She also just happens to be a massive dog lover, and she's the proud parent of a couple of dogs. And you'll find out just what they are shortly. But before we get into that, Rob, the clinic, what's been going on? What's been happening this week?
Oh, well, did we cause a furor amongst the dental people of the dog world? On one hand, I had the veterinary dentist saying to me, oh, you shouldn't tell people just to feed their dogs bones. That's not going to fix everything. Which, in truth, my dogs have really good teeth because they eat a raw brisket bone or lamb flap once a week. And in fact, all my clients' dogs over the years that have done that, their dogs have really good teeth. On the other hand, you have the other people saying, no, you can feed chicken bones. They should feed bones every day. Well, we said no to that because you get constipation. Chicken bones can cause paralysis, and if I'm pulling a bone out of a dog that's been stuck or worse still penetrating through the intestines, if I'm doing that in the clinic, it'll either be a chicken bone or a cooked bone. So no cooked bones, no chicken bones. And as far as both those extreme sides of the world that are saying, yes, you can feed bones every day, no, don't do that for your dog. I get a lot of constipated dogs from dogs that do that. And those that say, don't feed any dogs bones because you can just go to the vet once a year and have an anaesthetic and the dog's ultrasonic scaled. Why put the dog through that trauma? Why put yourself through the expense when a raw bone once a week, once a fortnight, will do the trick?
Perfect, perfect. Well, while we're talking about teeth, our quiz question in this episode is, in a normal dog, how many teeth do they have? Is it A, 24, B, 16, C, 42, or D, 32?
I know.
No, just you'll have to wait. Dr. Rob, you can give me the answer at the end of the show. 24, 16, 42, or 32? Okay, one of the question you probably get asked the most, Rob, for somebody who's thinking about getting a dog is what sort of dog, not just what breed, but what type of dog. Should they get a rescue dog? Should they go to the RSPCA? Should they get a purebred? Or should they just get a mongrel from the bloke up the end of the street who's been breeding in his backyard. I mean, or a pet shop. Or do you go to a pet shop and get one of those cute little dogs in the window?
Sure.
I'm sure there's pros and cons for most of them, or not.
So the first thing I ask people is, what really is going to be your commitment? Not the size of your yard, but how much time are you going to put into this dog? Because that's really important. That will determine what sort of dog you should get.
Do you mean time to play with the dog or just interact with it at home?
All of those things. A relationship with the dog. Are you going to do any obedience work with this dog? Are you going to take this dog out each day for a walk and, you know, spend some time with it? Or are you just going to have it, you know, every now and then out and in? If you're not going to spend every day spending a little bit of time, and you don't need hours and hours. I'm talking about 5-10 minutes a day, Stephen. That's all you have to do. Yeah,
five or 10 minutes doing what?
Doing a little bit of interaction with the dog, not just, you know, having it next to you while you watch TV. Though that's great. I like to have them in the house with you. But a little bit of obedience work, a little bit of teaching the dog socialization work. Don't have to do heavy obedience. I don't need the dog to go out there and, you know, parade up and down the fence line guarding the place. I just want the dog to be a really good family dog. That's important. So if you're going to do that, then yeah, you can think about a rescue dog. Remember, the pros of rescue dogs, of course, are that you've got a dog that's probably an adult dog, an older dog, so you don't go through all the puppy stages. And you get a dog that's, you're saving a dog's life, because otherwise these dogs may have to be put to sleep. Though a lot of shelters now do have a no-kill situation. They won't put the dog to sleep unless it's suffering from some bad disease or has extremely bad temperament. For some reason.
So they will just look after the dog until it dies naturally.
Yeah, a lot of shelters will do that now. They won't put the dog down until it finds a forever home. And that's what you've got to decide. You're going to be a forever home if you want a dog like that. But remember, too, the problem with some rescue dogs is that they have been in a bad situation. So you may be acquiring a dog that has some sort of psychological or mental problem. You will have to spend time retraining it, re-socializing it, getting it used to it, maybe even going to a behavioral specialist to try and bring that dog back to a normal life and give it some normality. Great if you can do that. If you can't, if you decide, look, no, I want to start with a puppy, then I would suggest seriously you go to a purebred dog breeder and talk to them. There's every state in Australia and every place in the Western world, there'll be a kennel control or, you know, a pedigree registration board, and they will tell you who the good breeders are. Now, a good breeder will do a few things. One, they'll clear the parents of hereditary diseases. It doesn't mean your pup will be cleared, but they'll do the best they can to ensure it doesn't have a hereditary disease. They'll give you a guarantee. Now, good breeders do give their puppy owners some sort of written guarantee that where they will give them some money back if something should go wrong as far as hereditary diseases are concerned. They'll also instruct you on where the best place is to go to maybe do obedience or train your dog or learn to groom your dog, all those things. A good breeder will walk the journey with you to get that dog properly socialized and into a great forever home. So it has its advantages. Plus, pedigree dogs, you get to know what sort of temperament you can expect, because you can see, meet the parents, that's important. And of course, you know from that breed what the characteristics are.
I mean, with a pedigree dog, obviously we're talking a lot more expense to buy the puppy. What are some of the most expensive breeds of dogs, of pedigree dogs that you could look at getting?
Well, it's rather weird. Some of them you wouldn't even expect. French bulldogs have become very expensive because they've become very popular. And I heard one French bulldog went recently in Australia, in Sydney, Australia, for $30,000.
For a puppy?
For a puppy. And the person wanted that particular puppy and he paid for it. Generally speaking, a pedigree dog in Australia goes for somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000, depending on the breeds. German Shepherd, for example, around about $2,500, maybe $3,000. A Portuguese water dog, usually around about $2,500. And remember, Portuguese water dog, we mentioned in our first episode, that's the dog that the Obamas have because it doesn't shed coat. A poodle, a standard poodle, around about $3,000.
See, that's a big difference to you know, a $500 outlay for a dog from a shelter or Absolutely. The RSPCA.
Yes, and yeah, shelters and RSPCA, as I said, they save dogs' lives. A much bigger outlay with the pedigree dog. But you hopefully are getting something you know what you're getting. I'm not saying don't get a rescue dog. I have them in my backyard as well. But just be prepared to spend time and getting to know the dog. A lot of the shelters now will let you take the dog home and see if it fits your lifestyle too.
What about the dogs you see in pet shops? Those cute little puppies that look at us through the front window of a pet shop.
Can't support it. Can't support it because very often people walk by and say, oh, yes, I'm going to go buy that puppy. It's an impulse purchase without thinking about it. You know, they don't think, oh, gosh, you know, I really want to get a particular breed of pup. A lot of those are just an impulse buy. And after 6 to 12 months, those dogs are not in a great situation because the person thinks, oh, really, I've got to go on holidays. What am I going to do with the dog? I didn't think about the vet fees and I have to feed it every day. I have to go and pick up its droppings every day, its poo in the backyard. I don't like impulse buying like that. I really don't. So I do like these pet shops that don't sell pets. There's plenty of them. They give great advice. They can guide you to where you can go to buy a pet or to acquire a rescue dog. They'll talk to you about the food that your dog should have, the brushes, the kennels, everything except for the pet itself. For me, pet shops can survive quite well with that. You know, people say, but hang on, pet shops should sell pets. No, for me, that's not necessary. Plus, some of the pet shops, those pets have a pretty dreadful time while they're in the pet shop. Not all pet shops are the same. They're not all, and some of them are fantastic. Some of the pet shops I've seen these days that they have lifted their game compared to what they used to be in the past, but there's still a lot of scragglers. So for me, I'm not supportive of dogs and cats in pet shops.
So sometimes we see on the news those horror pictures or reports of doggy farms.
Yep.
Usually out in the bush somewhere where they just keep breeding and breeding and breeding. I assume most of those puppies would end up in pet shops?
Well, pet shops and the other places on the internet. You know, if you answer some of these ads and they have these fantastic looking websites and they say, oh, no, you don't have to come here. We'll meet you somewhere. That's one of those puppy mills. Please don't buy from those. Don't support those because those puppies are suffering. You know, the females are bred every season. Could you imagine being bred every 6 months? They have to have pups. And it destroys the mother. And all they're interested in is turning over. Some of these places make hundreds of thousands of dollars every year out of breeding dogs. I have no problems with them making money from breeding dogs. I have problems with the condition they keep these dogs in.
I'm with you. So let's say that we've got our puppy. We've gone down the puppy route. What age should you have your puppy de-sexed?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And do you absolutely have to get your dog de-sexed?
No, you don't have to have your dog de-sexed for starters. I mean, you will pay, in most countries now, you pay more for registration if they're not de-sexed, unless you are a registered breeder. However, there's a couple of things. Remember, if you've got a female dog, she's going to want to get out and get mated when she's in season. If you have a small dog, they'll start cycling around about 6 months of age. In season means they are ready to breed. They start cycling and get ready to breed around 6 to 9 months of age. Big dogs, 9 up to even 18 months of age before that happens. They're going to want to get out. Males are going to want to get in, so you're going to have problems. If you have good fencing and you're a responsible person, truth is, I prefer to let them have just one cycle because they develop. You know, the vagina and the vulva of a female dog, when it's not had a season, are very immature. They're infantile, as they should be. They're infants. If they don't have that cycle, it doesn't mature and they can end up with a lot of dermatitis, early urinary incontinence, and the other problems they can have. So I tell responsible people, let them have one cycle. Male dogs, I like to let them mature. Again, bones have to mature with hormones, so I like to let them mature to about 9 to 12 months and then have them de-sexed, unless in either male or female, they're showing some problems of temperament, you know, over-aggressive dogs or highly sexual behavior in the male dog, then it's time to get him de-sexed if he's very young.
So if a female dog in season, if that's the right way to say
that's it,
drives the male dogs crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is that just the scent?
Yeah, all the smell. I mean, a dog will be, he could be quite a long distance away, but he'll pick up the scent in the wind, the male dog, and he'll want to go there and find her, and she'll get to a point where she'll want to get out and find a mate, of course, because that's what it's all about. And it's important then to, A, have good fencing, make sure a male dog can't get in, and ensure that your male dog can't get out as well. If he's de-sexed, that drive isn't there. That urge is not there with a de-sexed male dog.
Okay, our celebrity dogs this week are owned by none other than Hugh Jackman.
Oh, what a great entertainer, eh?
What an absolute great entertainer. He's got a couple of dogs. He's got a French bulldog.
Yeah.
Named Dali, who he bought back in 2010. And he's got a cute poodle terrier mix named Allegra.
Hmm.
Now, French bulldogs, you talked about them before as being, you know, up there with the most expensive breeds you can buy.
And one of the most popular breeds at the moment, yeah.
Why is that, do you think? Yes, everybody seems to...
Lots of different reasons. One reason, believe it or not, is because they resemble human babies. People say, what? My baby hasn't got a squashed-in face like that.
And ears that stick up on the top of its head.
They have got the cutest ears, French bulldogs. They're called hooded ears, you know, and bat ears, because they sort of...
Yes.
They're curved, and they, instead of being pointy at the top, they're round at the top, like bat's ears. And so it's pretty cute to look at. The eyes are, you know, big and bulgy, and that's just a human baby. The other thing that they love, everybody loves, of course, about a French bulldog is their temperament. They are just, they're real little clowns. Honestly, they will muck around, play with anyone and everyone. Beautiful nature dogs with people. Just lovely. Great with kids, too.
And his other dog is a poodle terrier mix. Now, is that reasonably common, poodle terrier?
Yeah, I mean, it's mixed breeds of all sorts, especially with mixed poodles these days, because everyone wants to buy something that has the word oodle in it for some reason.
So why has that become so, why have they become so fashionable? And why are poodles so good to breed with, I guess, to crossbreed with?
Yeah, well, poodles themselves are a great breed, and we're going to talk about them in the future. And people have tried, the initial experiment was done when they tried to cross a poodle and a Labrador to get the Labradoodle. And they were doing that to try and get dogs that didn't shed coat, would have the work ethics of a Labrador and maybe the intelligence of both, because they're both very intelligent. But it didn't really work, because once you start crossing breeds like this, anything can happen. You may get any type of temperament. And that did happen. Some of them were good, some of them were bad. Some of them shed coat, some of them didn't. There was no consistency, unfortunately, in the cross poodle breeds.
Okay, so we've bought our dog, our puppy, if we've gone down that route. Of course, every dog these days does need to be microchipped.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just explain in simple terms what a microchip is?
Yeah, sure.
How it's inserted, and what exactly does it do?
It's only a little, it literally is a tiny little chip, about the size of a rice grain, that's about all. Maybe a little bit bigger, and depends on the manufacturers. And all it does, it stores a number. And all the microchips in the world have a different number. So it's just put in like a needle, just like giving a needle to a dog, a vaccination. The only thing is it's a bit of a bigger bore needle, because the microchip has to go under the skin. So the needle goes under the skin that's got the microchip in the bore. The plunger goes in, the microchip lands under the skin, the needle comes out, and that's it. And that number belongs to that dog for the rest of the dog's life. That's registered then on the register, hopefully, in a particular state or even a particular register for the whole country. If ever your dog gets lost and gets picked up by someone, especially a shelter, they'll scan, they'll find the number, they will ring up the register, they'll get your name and contact details, and they'll be able to get the dog back to you straight away.
Now, on to our celebrity guest of the week, Nicole Livingston. She's represented Australian swimming at the highest level, having competed in 3 Summer Olympics, and she's got the medals to prove it. But these days, she's a sports presenter, and she's currently responsible for managing the AFL women's competition. But dogs have always been a big part of her life. Rob caught up with her a couple of days ago.
Your dogs, you've got how many at the moment?
I have 2 dogs. They're half brother-sister, same mum, different dads, and they're Aussie Bulldogs. This is actually the 3rd Aussie Bulldog that we've had. And after growing up as a kid, we had German Shepherds, and then I had my first dog as an adult was a Rottweiler. I've had a Kelpie before, and now just besotted by Aussie Bulldogs. They're just wonderful dogs.
So dogs have been so much part of your life. And the other part of your life, we all know, is swimming. Mm. I mean, going up and down the pool, you did look at the black line when you were doing freestyle. I guess you just looked at the ceiling when you're doing your famous backstroke.
Yeah.
And hours and hours. You came home to the dogs, I guess. Did that help?
Yeah, absolutely. And as a child, it was a German Shepherd. So, I used to catnap. Probably wrong turn of phrase for this story, given it was dogs. But I used to have daytime sleeps. Yeah, dog naps. Daytime sleeps as often as I could because, I was getting up at 4:30 in the morning and training twice a day, sometimes, throwing in dry land exercise as well. So it was about 30 hours a week. So often I would jump back into bed and always with a dog with me. And in fact, as a child, I fell asleep. I set my bed up in the lounge room and had mum and dad's old TV going, and our German Shepherd Kelly was asleep in there with me, and the TV actually caught fire, and I was dead asleep, and she actually woke me up. The mum and dad
saved your life.
Yeah, and mum and dad were able to put it out. But if it wasn't for her waking me up in that closed room with the lounge room TV on, I would have been toast. We were actually, my husband and I were talking about it the other day, and we are definitely dog people, and we wouldn't consider a time where we didn't have a dog in our life. So they're just so joyful for us. They're also a bit mischievous as well, but certainly joyful.
When you were swimming, were they a comfort to you while you were in the pool, looking at that black line going up and down?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a distraction, because sport can sometimes be all-consuming and certainly, be quite stressful. So to be able to have, as a kid and as a young person, having animals around me, that was always really important.
What are your dogs' names?
So we have JJ, and the story behind JJ is the bulldog, the Aussie bulldog that we had that is no longer with us. His name was Jose. And when we got a new dog, our smallest child wanted to call the new dog Jose Jr. And we diday think that was quite fair. So she became JJ.
Very good.
JJ's just over 2 years old. And then her half-brother is Wilson. So, so our family's also a baseball family. So Jose was named after a New York Mets player, Jose Reyes. And then when we're thinking about Wilson's name, the gloves and a lot of the equipment in baseball and the ball itself, they're Wilson. So we thought Wilson was an appropriate name. Because, they've only been together 12 months, and it's been a really interesting process introducing 2 dogs together, particularly when one's already a year old and established territory in the house.
Yes.
So they didn't get on that well for the first while, and I think we were really quite concerned that it would be an ongoing problem, but they seem to have found their groove, and Wilson will be a bigger dog than JJ, so just the difference in being a boy, and I think his dad was slightly bigger as well. But they seem to have found their groove. The girl dog, JJ, is very cunning. She's very, she's got a high level of emotional intelligence as well and reads the room very well. But she's also very tolerant of him, and he's just a dumbass. He's a big, we finally got a bulldog that's just that, Aussie bulldog that's just that big classic buff head of a bulldog.
What are they eating at the moment? What are you feeding these dogs?
Yeah, so we're feeding them a mix, actually, that the breeder recommended, which is a bit of a pain in the butt, to be honest, to have to keep preparing. And now we've got 2 dogs that probably only lasts probably 4 days, but they only get fed once a day. We feed them in the morning.
Yes, correct.
So it's a mix of, it's got Yakult in there, it's got Greek yogurt in there, it's got sardines, it's got raw egg. Now, I'll pause there. Hopefully that's okay. Raw egg.
There's more to tell you in a minute. I'll wait for you to finish.
Yeah, so it's got raw mint in there as well, and then it's got a dry kibble in there.
Okay, now let me tell you all this. Firstly, Yakult and all those things, they're good for humans, but dogs have different bacteria in their gut than we do, and they have a much shorter gut. And there's a good paper in about probiotics that's saying probiotics may not be what we think they are. They may not be as good. How can you get a probiotic that crosses all the species? All species have different bacteria. So you can slowly start decreasing the Yakult and everything else.
Okay.
And truly, I feed my dogs just a good quality dry food with a little bit of minced meat, if you like, or a bit of sardines or tuna or whatever fish you like. Mm-hmm. The one thing I wouldn't do is get an egg every day because you may be overdoing the thymonase. Thymonase is found in egg whites. An egg a week is not going to worry them. An egg a day might be getting too much thymonase, attacks thymine, so they end up with no thymine in the body. Thymine, as you know, is a big, very important big group vitamin. So,
what about pig's ears and cow's ears, though?
Same deal. The only thing I do find with any dogs, if you're giving them bones, I don't care how friendly they are towards each other, keep them separate. One in the garage, one in the laundry or something like that, somewhere where they can't dig and bury the bone. And when you leave it with them for an hour or so, if they haven't finished it, take it away and throw it away. That's fine. You give bones more for cleaning their teeth.
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming on the Doggy Pod and talking to us.
Thanks very much for having me, Rob.
Okay, that's just about the end of our show this week. I know you've all been wondering about the answer to the question at the top of the show. In a normal adult dog, how many teeth do they have? Is it A, 24, B, 16, C, 42, or D, 32? Dr. Rob, you have the answer.
Well, how's your mathematics? You've got six incisors, top and bottom, two canines, top and bottom, then you've got four premolars, top and bottom, and then three molars at the back and two, so it's 42 teeth altogether.
42, that is a lot of teeth.
Yeah, you certainly know about it when if a dog grabs you, it shouldn't.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Rob. Now, next week on the Doggy Pod, we're going to be talking about food allergies. We're going to be talking about what's the right weight for your dog.
Oh, boy, that's a beauty. What's the right weight for your dog?
We're going to be
Listen in, people, because we're going to get this correct once and for all.
Yes, I know you've got some very strong views on that. We're going to be talking about dogs in the park playing up. And one thing we're going to have a chat about is dogs licking our faces. Is that just the equivalent of a big sloppy kiss, or is there much more to it? Anyway, that's it for us. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Please subscribe if you like the Doggy Pod. We've got a lot more fun coming up and a lot more information coming up in the following week. So we'll speak to you soon. We'll see you around.
See you guys. All the best.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.